From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, August 18th. Coming up, Illinois has longstanding ties to the island nation of Haiti. We'll learn how one Illinois-based relief group is trying to help after the massive earthquake there over the weekend. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. At the Illinois State Fairgrounds today, Democrats will promote party unity at their annual rally day. But just outside, environmental activists will spotlight an issue that's divided Democrats all summer. Hannah Meisel has more.
All summer, two traditional Democratic allies, environmental groups and organized labor, have been at loggerheads over a climate and energy bill. Now they say they're at impasse. Governor J.B. Pritzker, who is aligned with the environmental groups, says he's done negotiating and wants lawmakers to pass his bill, which includes the forced shutdown of coal and gas-fired power plants by 2045, or possibly sooner.
That's an awfully long time from now, 24 years from now. I just want to make that clear. I think people have lost sight of that.
Unions and a significant number of Democrats are balking at the future job loss and what might happen to dozens of Illinois towns who bought into a downstate coal plant for their energy needs a decade ago. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth says the country's focus in Afghanistan right now should be on evacuations, including America's Afghan allies.
If we do not do that, no one will ever work with the U.S. forces again. If we abandon them and don't make a good effort to get our Afghan allies out, the next time we go in someplace and we say, come work with us and we'll take care of you, no one will believe us.
Duckworth says she believes American troops successfully carried out the mission to stop Osama bin Laden they were originally tasked with 20 years ago in the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The senator says she's attending classified briefings about plans underway to get both American non-military personnel and Afghan allies out of the country safely. Urbana's emergency housing program is about to move from rented hotel rooms to its own apartment buildings. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The program gives shelter to homeless families and people with disabilities for just a few weeks while helping them arrange for more permanent shelter. Cunningham Township, which covers the same territory as Urbana, launched the program last year, renting hotel rooms that were plentiful during the COVID-19 shutdown. But with hotel business picking up, Cunningham Township Supervisor Danielle Chenoweth says they've acquired two apartment buildings near downtown Urbana, which she says are preferable to hotel rooms.
We really want people to be in an apartment environment so that they can stabilize in that environment and then they transition into more stable housing that is independent.
Chenoweth says she expects the Urbana City Council to finalize a special use permit for the apartment buildings in time for the first residents to move in next week. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Health officials in Champaign County are encouraging people who may be eligible for a third dose of a COVID-19 vaccine to check with their medical provider. A third dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine is suggested for people with immunocompromised conditions. These include people who've been receiving cancer treatments or taking medicines to suppress the immune system, such as after an organ or stem cell transplant. A third dose for these conditions is different from a vaccine booster shot, which is not yet available. Still to come, we'll learn about one way to help people in Haiti following a massive earthquake over the weekend. That conversation with 21st host Brian Mackey is coming up next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The island nation of Haiti is dealing with the aftermath of a major earthquake over the weekend. As of Tuesday, officials say nearly 2,000 people are dead and another 10,000 people are injured from the 7.2 magnitude quake that struck the southwestern part of the island. Illinois has longstanding ties with Haiti. Haitian native Jean-Baptiste Pontusable founded the city of Chicago in the 1780s, and nearly 10,000 Haitian natives call Illinois home. 21st host Brian Mackey discussed the situation in Haiti with Chris Weikert. He's the executive director of the relief group Hope for Haitians based in Rockford. Weikert describes the work his group typically does in Haiti.
Well, to start with, we're talking about people who basically may have nothing. They're living, most often when we begin our work with them, they're living in a home that may be constructed of sticks and mud, with salvaged tin roof, perhaps. And it's incredibly susceptible to all types of weather. They often talk about how they'll be standing anytime there's a storm because the water just kind of runs through and leaks through. So one of the first things that we do is we begin with housing. We construct cinder block homes, two-bedroom homes that are, we think of a two-bedroom home, and we're thinking a lot more square footage as you talk about it in the Illinois area. But down there, we're talking about maybe the size of a two-car garage, and not one with the extended area for the workbench. So we construct a sturdy home for them, and that's kind of one of the launch pads that we begin the sustainability. Another critical component that happens almost exactly at the same time is we ensure that there's fresh potable water available, because water is such a vector for disease, infection, sickness. So those are the first two issues we take on, but we continue from there.
Chris, your organization built villages after that earthquake I mentioned earlier in 2010. That one killed 200,000 people. What sort of changes did you make after that quake? And what do the residents say of those villages? Do you have a sense of how they've held up since then?
Brian, that's actually a great question. One of the most important things in any relief or charitable organization is to have the humility to learn, to have that capacity to adapt when you get new information. And the earthquake back in 2010 was a learning experience. We discovered that some construction materials were not sufficient to withstand that kind of an impact. And so we reoriented the way that we constructed. We included greater reinforcement. We beefed up the foundations because honestly, it's the ground movement that causes the destruction of the property. And so we made foundations that not really float, but are much more stable when the ground moves. And so we revamped the quality of construction that we're doing. Just because it's charity, it doesn't mean that we do low quality work. We want to do excellent work so that we set them on a long-term future. And your follow-up question there, where you asked about how have we seen that affected, one of the great things we can report is that while we're still uncertain about what happened in our first village, we know that the more recent villages that we've built, the reports that are coming back are showing that we had not incurred any damage in those homes that were built after we revised our processes in 2010.
All right, let's now focus on ways to help. You say that donations, I guess monetary donations, go a lot further than just donating canned goods or supplies, things like that, and trying to ship them. Can you talk about why that is?
I really think one of the things about the American people is we're incredibly generous people. And our first instinct when we hear that there's injuries, we want to go to our first aid kit and take the stuff out and bring it to the area. The challenge we have is that, we're 1,000 miles plus away from that area. And to get things efficiently to Haiti, we're talking about container shipping. So we're talking about delays of weeks. And that's one of the reasons why monetary contributions are most essential in the early phase of responding to a disaster. There's really two distinct phases. Right at the beginning, it's emergency relief. Following that, that's work on recovery. So the things that are most urgently needed immediately are best obtained by having one of the most flexible mediums possible, which is cash on hand that we can direct to the purchase of supplies as close to the source as possible. Later on, we may discover that we have a village of 50 homes that needs to be completely rebuilt. That's a longer term project. And we'd welcome people's involvement at that point as well.
That's Hope for Haitians Executive Director Chris Weikert, based in Rockford. You can find out more and make a donation at hopeforhaitians.org and find the full conversation at 21stshow.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies today with an isolated thunderstorm possible and a high of 85 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Tim Shelley, Jim Meadows, and The 21st Show. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulveen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.